All right, we are back. Hour two. John Jansen, amazing. Love that dude. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
There you go.
Very excited.
We're talking Olympics today. We're talking basketball. We're going to talk about trades that were made and guys who were signed. The Miami Heat shoring it up.
But I want to talk NFL now. We bring in a gentleman who had a very illustrious career. Just a smart dude and a good guy. Former NFL cornerback. Many great years with the Chargers.
Chiefs.
Kansas City. We're, of course, talking about the great Brandon Flowers. Welcome to the show, Brandon. You're on with Randy and Jason. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man.
Of course.
So nice to have you on as we are about to enter sort of training camp.
Preseason games.
Training camp's happening. Preseason games. There's actually a lot to talk about. I don't know if you heard that this is crazy, and I want to get into the mentality of it, but apparently there was a brawl at Giants camp today, and Daniel Jones was at the bottom of the pile, and
Got to the bottom of the pile because he was running clean in the open field,
and then he tripped fell down, and then
a pile
to the bottom of the pile
landed on top of him.
But I mean, talk to me about what is the mentality that would,
because some people would say that's a good thing that guys are fighting each other because they want it badly. Other people are like, wait, there's discord on the team. What do you think?
Yeah, talk to me about that.
It's a great thing.
Okay.
That means the competition is at an all-time high. That means these guys in that locker room actually miss football and can't wait to hit someone in the mouth to get ready for the season.
Yep.
I think it would be bigger of a concern if guys was going out, kind of not giving all they have on the field, and you're hearing reports saying that the coach had to stop practice, start it back over because guys needed to pick up the intensity. I mean, that's what training camp is all about, and football is a combative sport, where you guys are going to hit each other in the mouth. There's going to be attitudes flaring. And you got to remember, in the NFL, offense and defense is almost like two totally different teams out there. We don't lift together. We don't meet together. So I love it. It's all just a lot of competitiveness going on. That's what camp is all about.
And competitiveness within your position. I'll never forget Maurice Jones-Drew once told us at the NFL Network, this is after the season he rushed for like 1,608 yards. He's in training camp the next year. Okay, he's had a career year. Any running back who rushes for 1,600 yards, that's incredible. He gets a handoff, misses the hole he's supposed to go in, and immediately gets pulled. And it's like,
number two.
Next man up. I mean, that competition, even from your own position group, has got to be intense. Am I right?
Oh, definitely. That's why you always hear that the NFL stands for not for long. No matter how great you are, this is why people say the NFL is a business. Because literally every year, I don't care if you just signed a $90 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
Each year, they're trying to find a player that can replace you who's that much cheaper, where they can clear their salary cap and try to build the team. So each year, I don't care if you just signed a deal, you're in competition with yourself more than you are in competition with everybody else, because you know as a player you're trying to get replaced each and every year. So that's why it's always an honor to see guys that play 10-plus years in the league, because you know how much sacrifice, work, and focus that took to survive in the NFL that long.
You had a career that long. That's amazing. I do think shows like Hard Knocks on HBO bring that closer into focus for the casual fan.
Because when someone says, hey, meet me in my office and bring your playbook,
you know that's the kiss of death.
You're like, I don't want to hear that.
I don't have my playbook. I'm sorry. I can't meet you there.
Definitely. And it's like you can feel, as a veteran, you can feel that time approaching. And you always try to grab a young guy and try to put him under your wings because they don't know. They don't know training camp is only about 2 weeks long, but that's for people that's going to make the final cut. Your training camp can be a week long if you're a rookie, and you'll never get the opportunity to play in the NFL again. So don't approach this game as if you was a vet. You need to take all the reps. You need to be the first one in the weight room, the last one out. You need to not make any mental mistakes on the field, because you might, as a free agent, get 3 reps of practice. All your playing time will be in the game whenever you do get in the game, and you better not make a mistake. And they don't know that. And you can't expect them to know that, because it's so much different from college football. So that's why young guys always definitely appreciate when they have an older guy that can take them under their wings and let them know the ins and outs of this business, because it's a whole different ordeal than college football.
It's the unspoken mentorship of the NFL that really helps these young guys out. I'm sure you had someone do it for you.
Definitely. I was in such a unique position. I actually had my cousin and Patrick Surtain, who was like a 12-year vet at the time, to take me under his wing. And when I was in high school down here in South Florida, he was playing with the Miami Dolphins at the time. So I used to go to his NFL games then. I used to stay the night at his house. And for me to walk in the building and was able to start opposite sides of him in Kansas City when he was there in year 12, I mean, I felt like I had just the biggest blessing ever just to have someone not just take me under their wing, but he was a pro. He was always on time. He always took care of his body, and he just taught me even more of the X and O's of the game. So I definitely had it, you know, the best coming in as a rookie, I feel, with that mentorship on the other side of me.
And family. You know, family's going to treat you a different way than other people. So that was amazing. Now, you played many years in San Diego, many years with the Chargers. Let's talk about the Chargers right now and really as a kind of a microcosm of the league itself. Great young quarterback that you can, a franchise type quarterback that you can really hang the entire sort of plan on. Where do you see this team as it goes into this year? I mean, I think they're poised to make a move.
They're definitely poised to make the move, And we kind of been expecting this out of the Chargers for the last few years. I think Anthony Lynn is a good coach, but he just hasn't been able to put the wins together with the kind of roster he has. The roster always been good. The general manager, Tom Telesco, does a great job of getting the pieces in the building. But now we'll see if Coach Staley can put it together and make these guys perform at their highest level, because that's what head coaching is all about in the NFL. It's almost about being a life coach, a mental, just a mental coach of just getting the best out of your players and getting them to believe, you know, we have the talent on this roster. Forget what our record was in the past. We can get this done. And right now it seems like they're following his lead. If Derwin James and guys like that can stay healthy, this team definitely can make a nice push.
Derwin, yeah, they need Derwin James to stay healthy. That was a top five pick. That's a guy who could be an anchor back there.
Unlucky injuries. You need this guy to stay healthy. But to me, Justin Herbert feels like West Coast Josh Allen. Can move,
big,
can throw a big body, can fall forward and get you those 3 yards you need if he's scrambling. That to me is that this is a quarterback heavy and quarterback driven league. I don't know if we're ever going to see another team win a Super Bowl with just defense and an average quarterback, right? Those are the times of the past.
I agree. You have to have a quarterback in place, and the league has changed so much. They throw the ball 75% of the time. Now, you definitely need a quarterback in place, and he's definitely the guy you need under center, because what impressed me most about Herbert is his confidence. He goes on the field, and he's not scared to make a throw, and he's not a gunslinger. It's not like he makes bad decisions on the field.
Right.
I mean, he just seems like a guy that's ahead of his time out there on the field, but the only thing I am concerned about is they're bringing in a new offensive coordinator.
Right.
So we will see if they will tailor the offense into what he liked to do last year, or will Lombardi, as the offensive coordinator, basically say, hey, this is what we do. Now we want to see if you can adjust to what we do. So we have to keep our minds open to just this new playbook they're bringing over to see if that fits his scheme.
I have a question for you. As a cornerback, for you, because you're seeing the top echelon of quarterbacks. Tom Brady just turned 44 yesterday. Aaron Rodgers walks into camp. And the last 3 years...
Scorches earth.
I want to hear about that in a second, too, from your perspective in terms of what he did there and in terms of defending players and where he sits in the players' minds. But the upper echelon of quarterbacks, Drew Brees, who's retired, Peyton Manning when he played, Pat Mahomes... What is it that those guys have that just the next step down that make them just so hard as a CB to guard against? And what do they have? Is it precision, decision making, timing? What is it?
You know what? Is they've seen everything before. It's no defense you can throw at Tom Brady, Drew Brees that they haven't seen before. You're not going to trick them on the field.
Right.
They understand that timing is everything. Some young quarterbacks now, even if they're in year five or six, literally still have to see a little bit of separation before they let the ball go. Those guys like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, they only keep the ball in their hands, what, 2.5, 3 seconds?
Yeah.
That's why they don't take as many sacks.
Right.
Tom Brady, he doesn't throw the ball downfield. It's quick over the middle, to the tight end, to the back. He understands that he has to get the ball out of his hand quick, and he trusts that each receiver is going to be in that area where he needs them to be when he needs to deliver the ball. Tom Brady never had receivers that needs to stand out on an island and beat that defensive back one-on-one to get open. It's like, no, I'll throw you open. I need you to be in this vicinity. And it's all about timing with those guys. And the receivers, they actually buy in. They say, hey, this guy has a winning track record. I'm going to believe what you say rather than being the prima donna receiver that feels like he's the guy on the team that's telling the younger quarterback, get me the ball. I'm going to beat the receiver one-on-one. Focus on me on this third down, and I'm going to get open. We've seen that hinder some teams in the past. You know, you hear the things that go on with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham, whether it's true or not. They say he tried to force the ball to Odell in the past. And when Odell went out, this offense started to flow more. So that's the one thing that kind of holds younger quarterbacks back. You know, just not just letting the scheme take over, getting the ball out of their hand quick, trusting the offense. They focused on just trying to let these guys on the outside beat guys one-on-one. You're not going to do that anymore.
No, I don't think you will. And it takes elite quarterbacks. So when you have one, you want to hang on to him no matter what he says. So how did you react to Aaron Rodgers and what he said in that, really just speaking truth to power in that press conference?
I loved everything he said, and he's 100% right. He wasn't asking to be a general manager. He wasn't asking to be the owner or the president of the team.
No.
All he was saying is just let me have a say-so on who we're bringing in. If we're bringing in a receiver, just come to me and say, hey, we got these five receivers. Which one would you prefer on the field? Because you're the one throwing the ball to these guys. Like, the general manager might feel like we need speed on the outside, but Aaron Rodgers is feeling like, hey, I don't care about speed. I just need a big target. We have smaller receivers. I need a big target to throw to. So he's just saying, fill me in, guys. Let me have a say-so. And that's not out of the ordinary, because when I was only in year three in Kansas City when Todd Haley was the head coach, when we drafted Eric Berry first round as a top five pick, he came to me. He said, hey, do you think Eric Berry, because I trained with Eric Berry, said, hey, do you think he can play corner for us? Do you think we should play him at safety? Should we draft him at that pick? Not saying that I had that much pull and say so, but I appreciated
they respected
that they came
you.
And asked me, what do I feel about that pick, adding someone to the secondary at a young age in year three, and this guy's coming in as a top five pick. So it's not out of the ordinary for guys to be involved in who comes in and having a little say-so. So I understand what his concerns are and how he felt disrespected 100%.
So, and just don't bring a horse around Eric Berry.
That's what you said. As long as there's not a horse.
As long as there's a horse nowhere near him, he's okay. We're talking to Brandon Flowers. This is so enlightening. I really am fascinated to hear what the former players and players thought of what Aaron Rodgers did and said, because first of all, we always said this, there are no kids in Green Bay with fat heads of the general manager on their wall. Everybody's going to be on the side of the quarterback and the guy who brings them the success on the field. And you say to yourself, Aaron Rodgers has better numbers than Tom Brady in the last 3 years. What's the difference? And you say, well, it's not his fault. He's doing everything that he can. Maybe it's a decision from coaching. Maybe they let go a guy who was a good locker room guy. Maybe that, you know what I mean? They didn't give him the pieces he needed. That's what came out of it for me as I was watching that.
And another frustrating thing is that people don't understand about Aaron Rodgers is if you came into the NFL as a young quarterback and you never had receivers, you had average receivers, and you always had to make things work on your own, that's one thing. But when Aaron Rodgers first stepped on the field as a starter, he had Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley. He had Jordy Nelson. Like, I can keep going on the amount of talent he had on the outside as weapons, and he's letting you guys know, listen, I will get you a Super Bowl if you just get me the weapons. And since that Super Bowl, they never surrounded with those same type of weapons again. And that could be frustrating for a quarterback to say, hey, I had this. I know what that felt like.
Right.
Can I please just have it one more time to show you, like, listen, just load me with weapons and I'll get you a ring. But they never gave him those weapons again. And just because he felt what it was like to have weapons on the outside, four or five weapons, I can understand his frustration by not having that many targets to throw to again.
And he didn't have weapons, and he still made it to the Final Four the last 2 years. I mean, that tells you how good the dude is. So if you're looking at the landscape this year, who do you think, I mean, obviously Kansas City is going to be there.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, I believe, will be back there. Who else? What teams do you are you looking at? Okay, this team has got a legit shot.
In the AFC, I'm looking at Tennessee. We're adding Julio Jones. You know, you can't stack the box against Henry anymore because you got A.J. Brown on one side. Mm-hmm. You can't double him because you got Julio Jones on the other side.
Right.
So what are defensive coordinators going to give up? Are they going to say, listen, you can just rush the ball. We're not going to give the ball.
Derrick Henry.
Over our head.
Yeah.
Or are you going to play soft because Julio and A.J. Brown is scorching you and then you can't stop Derrick Henry? So in the AFC, it's definitely going to be Tennessee. That's mm-hmm. going to make a nice run this year. And then the NFC, I think San Francisco.
They're back.
They're going to get it done if it's not going to be Tampa Bay because they have a great coaching staff. They got a team that can believe that they can get deep into the playoffs if they can just stay healthy.
Yep.
When Jimmy G is healthy, yeah. he win games.
So wait.
And now if he goes out,
yeah.
they have a guy that can step up. Almost how that Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick thing yep. happened over there where yep. the young guy can step in and give his team a boost. Mm-hmm. And that's who the quarterback in Shanahan wants in the at QB1 anyway. So it's just if Jimmy G gets hurt, they still can make that push. So in the NFC, it's going to be San Francisco for me.
How would you like to see the NFC Championship game, Jimmy G against Tom Brady? I mean, there's so many great storylines, or you know, or even Aaron Rodgers. You never know. They're just. I think the NFL, especially, they have quarterbacks at every level that are exciting to watch. You got
veterans,
the greatest of all time. You have. You know, starters who have been there for a while, the Russell Wilsons of this game, who are still can do it and still can sling it. And then you got new guys coming in, and you got rookies, and you got third-year guys and second-year guys come in. I think the league is really healthy, specifically at the quarterback position.
I couldn't agree more. Before, it was almost, hey, every team needs a quarterback
right.
in the draft. You know,
right.
like, they can get in the top 10. They're so happy because they get a franchise guy, possibly,
yeah.
but you might can only name two or three teams that don't have a stud at quarterback because we're still forgetting about Lamar Jackson
yes.
and Baltimore. Like, he can take
that
next season and have a run. It's no team with Tua. He's getting a new offensive coordinator in Miami.
Yeah.
So it's just
Baker.
Like, these guys are young and they're studs.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow is coming back in
yep.
Cincinnati. Like you said, this is a star-studded quarterback league right now, and that makes it that much more entertaining.
Well, if you're a receiver coming out in the draft, a young guy coming out, you know, you're playing in college right now, you got to just be licking your chops because no matter who picks you, you're going to get somewhere where someone's going to get you the ball. And it's scary for cornerbacks like yourself, I have to say.
Gotta step their game up.
You got to step the game up.
The defense has changed a little bit on the NFL changed a little bit on the defensive side also. More when I was playing, you had to be a lockdown guy because everybody's playing on islands and everybody
right.
goes through their top five on who's the lockdown guy.
Right.
But defensive coordinators are now seeing how efficient and how much precision these different offenses have now. And it's so hard to stop, especially when playing gurus like Andy Reid
yes.
and, you know, Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave guys one-on-one because there's so much motion and switching mm-hmm. and pick routes and the offensive game is just so it's tremendous on offensive side of the ball
yeah.
on how great these offensive coordinators are. So now they're playing zone defenses on the defensive side of the ball, and they're only playing man-to-man, you know, half the amount of time as they used to play before. So you don't necessarily have to be a lockdown cornerback anymore. You just have to lock down in key situations on third downs and big times in the game throughout the game to get your defense off the field.
Third down is where it's all won, and you are a great third down guy in life on the NFL Network.
Loving
you are
your hits on the NFL Network.
Brandon Flowers, thanks for joining us today, buddy. Thank you for all your insights. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Definitely enjoyed it.
So great.
Brandon Flowers.
Watch him on the NFL Network. So good. Let's take a break.
Let's do that.
When we come back, more stories. Got more stuff. Are we going to talk Odell Beckham? Maybe.
Yeah.
Talk about raccoons in the outfield. There's so much stuff to talk about.
And some more Olympic stuff.
This is the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. These are the Beths, right?
Love these
Enjoy.
Guys. New Zealand.
We'll be right back.
The head eruption, I won't try to interrupt.
So I went back and I was... was listening to a little bit of The Knack.
Yeah.
My Sharona. This song's on that album. This is a great song. Not one hit wonders in my mind. Sklar Brothers, filling in for Jim Rome. We're back. Midway point of the show. By the way, Garrett Ritt just killing it on the old board. Can we give a shout out to him and Tom DiBenedetto doing his thing?
My guys. I mean, Alvy's out. Rome is out. We're all just doing our best to fill in.
That's it.
Filling big shoes. We get it. We understand. We thank you guys for listening. We got some tweets. Andy Rooney at Sklar Brothers. Ricky Rubio looks like he can't wait to tell you about this one man. I'm sorry. His one man ambient shoegaze project.
Yeah. He's like, he'll tell you about some.
Tell me about your one man show about yoga.
Yeah. Tell me about the time you went into a sound pod for an hour to help work on your mental state, right? Like he also is the type of, like, if Ricky Rubio told me that he was a part-time house DJ, I'd be like, yeah, mm-hmm. What are you doing on a double bill with Ronnie Cycling on a cruise ship in Greece? Maybe.
Todd Schultz, driving in Destin, Florida on vacation here on 100.3. John Jansen, the Sklar Brothers, awesome surprise. There you go.
Thanks, Todd Schultz.
Thanks for tuning in, bro.
Love that. So, by the way, Brandon Flowers, can we just say for a moment what great energy that dude has?
Love it. And he was straight talking truth about the NFL. We didn't even get a chance to get into the Carson Wentz of it all. And I want to talk about that in this segment right now.
So Carson Wentz
goes down with a broken foot. Frank Reich is saying that this was a high school injury. I'm like, how do you know it's a high school injury? High school injury he never talked about. I'm like,
he's got a loose bone floating around in his foot. Like Carson Wentz. Remember when we met Carson Wentz on the rookie day where they were getting their pictures for their cards taken for the NFL?
Greatest dude. Nicest guy.
Wentz like let us run routes and threw us balls. I mean, he was so nice.
6'11".
He's not 6'11".
All right. He seemed like he was tall, 6'11". Though. Tall dude.
You're like, this is the quarterback of the future. He can run. He's like, you know.
Who else had a loose bone? Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah. That's right. Everybody. That's right.
Folks.
And Sean Kemp.
Don't ever give me a rim shot.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
That's debilitating to a comedian.
So Carson Wentz is going to have surgery or had surgery.
Out 5 to 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Does he come back? I don't know. I mean, the guy's been banged up for, tell me the last time Carson Wentz was healthy. So like buzzards circling around a carcass.
All of a sudden, Nick Foles is at a press conference.
Nick Foles has the best name for Philadelphia fans.
It's such a shame he's gone from there. Who do you like on Philly?
I'm a huge Nick Foles fan.
He's great.
Hey, Nick Foles stepped in for Carson Wentz.
Let's talk about Nick Foles. I'll grab a water ice.
Let's go grab a water ice at the Wawa on 5th and Sansome.
I want to go to the one on 5th and Locust.
Go down there and grab me a Coke Zero out of the fridge. I'm going to go watch my favorite quarterback, Nick Foles.
And I'll eat a hoagie.
Get a hoagie.
Grab a Coke.
A Pats or a Geno's.
So
Nick Foles gets up
on the mic at a press conference in Chicago.
He's wearing Chicago gear. Listen to what Nick Foles says at the press conference. This is a dude that's been literally playing with the third string of his team, and he gets on the mic and says this.
Listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time.
Better than the one I have now.
He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person.
Pause it right there.
He understands me as a lover.
Understands me as a player. This is almost as bad as when Ben Affleck was like, look, guys, marriage is hard. You don't say this stuff out loud in front of people at press conferences.
By the way, marriage is hard.
He's right. You just don't say it.
At the Oscars, you don't say
it. So this guy's out there saying, this other coach who's not my coach really gets me as a person.
He's one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Like a guy saying, hey, you know that guy's wife?
She's one of my favorites.
She gets me.
If not my favorite woman on the planet.
That's who I text before I go to bed every night.
Your wife is sitting right here.
She gets me.
This woman out there that's not my wife gets me.
I'm a yin. This guy's wife is my yang. Honey, pass the potatoes. You can't say that.
I don't understand how he's doing it. Let's keep playing it because it's insane.
I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now.
Not for right now. All right, pause it. Pause it right there.
So right now, our buddy Dan Van Kirk, who does our podcast Dumb People Town with us, has a great bit
about anyone who's having trouble in their lives. You say, what are you doing
right
for
now? They're like, well, right now, I'm just trying to get my. Right now, I'm just putting this in.
Right now, I'm working at this gas station. Well, then that means things have not gone well for you.
Right.
When you have to qualify what you're doing with
Right now, I'm in a custody battle. It's like, no, you're always in a custody battle. Like, right now is a bad
right now,
way.
I'm hoping to get disability. No,
right now, I'm with the Chicago Bears. That's your problem. All right, let's keep playing it because this is insane.
He knows me. He understands. I mean,
he
y'all watched
me.
The 2017 season. In the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me and y'all saw what happened.
Pause it right there. We had the best sex in my life. That's what he's saying. The energy between it, the chemistry between us. We made sweet, sweet, sweet love all the way to a championship.
All the way to a championship. He changed his world for me. That's what Nick Foles is saying. He built the offense around me, which I'm not sure if I really believe that, but he probably... Nick Foles, who has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the last few years from a numbers standpoint. He has been
awful.
He's like the fourth worst quarterback in the league as far as QBR, all that stuff in the last couple years. It feels like Nick Foles can't throw a ball more than 28 yards downfield. Okay,
that's but what he won a Super Bowl.
He did win a Super Bowl, and he did step up, and he had that moment. But the fact that he is airing all this out at a press conference, what are the – like at some point, Chicago, you got to just turn off the microphones, but he keeps going.
So he understood my mentality as a player.
Great.
And he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position. And
unlike what's going on
that
now.
That being said, they have Carson. And Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson.
Wait,
he's a tremendous
right
player.
There.
He's
stop. Good.
Hold on.
When you the don't, first thing out of your mouth is, I have a lot of history with that person. That's not a good thing. You're not saying anything positive. I have a lot of history with someone.
Means that like.
We don't like each other. Hashtag we don't like each other.
I have a lot of history means we've gotten into a lot. Like we're not friends. If he were to say Carson and I are really good buddies. That's one thing.
I love Carson. That's a guy who I trust.
Hey.
He didn't say that.
If you're talking to your friend, he's like, see that crazy woman over there? We have a lot of history together. Mm-mm. Not good.
What you, don't she came at you with a knife?
Don't
and you,
go over
And you
there.
Almost backed your car over
she
her?
Threw
that's
her,
what that tells me.
She threw your cell phone over the bridge and into the Golden Gate in the water there.
She took a dump in your golf clubs?
No.
Like,
no.
No. No.
A lot of history.
A lot of history means a lot of bad things happen. That's not, we have a great relationship.
But he does have a lot of history. And Carson Wentz is like, Nick Foles, don't go sniffing around here while I go have foot surgery.
Let's you have a big dump in your pants.
Stop it. Let's play the next little bit of this.
You know what? He might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But
sure.
We haven't had any talks. So right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging it with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
Okay, so I'm going to keep slinging it with these third stringers.
That's a dig at his own coach.
Dig at his own coach.
I don't belong in the third string. Why am I down here in the third? I'm going to keep slinging it there. We're going to dice them up. We're going to do better than the second string and the first string.
His coach is like, what is Nick Foles doing on the mic? Like the only reason.
You know what Nick Foles is doing on the mic? He's moving Justin Fields above him faster and quicker. He's moving him straight up to the front lines.
Yeah, dude. You are number.
This is Justin Fields' team.
You are number three on this depth chart. You may not make the team. They may be able to claim you on waivers if they want.
And then you can be like Adele. You can drive up outside of Colts practice and just see how they're doing.
Just see how you're doing. I just came by to see how you were doing.
Yeah,
Adele. I just
came by to see how your family is. Hope your family's good.
Hope everybody's good.
And I just wanted to also tell you, you'll never have anyone else like me.
If Adele rolled up to your house and said, how are you? I just wanted to see how you're doing. And I want to make sure your family's okay. You literally would be like, call the cops.
Yes.
Call the cops right now. This is not cool. First of all, you can text me. Second, you don't have to drive over and ask me how my family.
What are you, an astronaut in a diaper?
Come on. Just
Nick Foles is about to put on a diaper and drive down to Indianapolis.
Drive from?
That's what it feels like.
That's what it feels
like. You hear that? You hear him saying those? He said a lot of things in public that you should only say in private.
That's right. What's he doing on the microphone? We haven't had any talks. I'm just putting it out there.
When you start using your outside voice on the inside, we all can see it. That was to me, as much a... I'm saying things that aren't supposed to be said as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's
that little soundbite.
The whole thing, I can boil the entire Nick Foles soundbite down to one word: help.
Mm-hmm.
Help me. Help me not sling it with the third stringers like I'm just dicing them up. You're not dicing them up with the third stringers, because guess what? Third stringers don't dice anything up.
No. You want to tell the world that this guy can make you top chef, and right now you're a line cook. That's who you are. And you want the world to think you're that other guy.
But you're not that guy, bro.
Even if that one guy thinks you're that guy.
You're not that guy, bro.
You're not that guy.
You're not. Hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
Raiders fan. Hawaiian Raiders. Hey, bro.
Hey, get down from there, bro.
Kenny Jr.'s on the up underneath that jungle gym. Get
Grab
down,
me
bro.
Those kettle chips, bro.
Come on. Black hole. Let's go, bro. I love it. I love it. Let's take a break. Let's go to a sports update with our buddy Rich Ackerman. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome.
Craziness out there.
Such a joy. We've got Bill Shaken coming in middle of hour three. Going to talk some MLB with him.
And we'll talk about the raccoon problem in City
Field. Raccoons in the outfield. It's coming up after the break. Enjoy the sports update with Rich Ackerman. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we are back, rounding out hour two, hour three. Bill Shaken, John Jansen was great in hour one. Brandon Flowers great in hour two.
Hey, if you like what we're doing, we have a podcast, View from the Cheap Seats. We also have
we do sports and comedy every week. This is our show, take of the world
basically.
Of sports.
It's what we do
this,
here.
But we do it every week in podcast form with little guests and stuff.
Eric Griffin from
Workaholics, amazing, is our guest this Friday. And if you loved our old show, Cheap Seats, we are now making new episodes. First time in 15 years, and we're only making them available to our Patreon fans. So if you look up patreon.com, look up Sklar Brothers, you can join and watch us do Cheap Seats episodes. We're about to record two more.
Battle of the Network Stars.
Battle of the Network Stars from 79. Cosell is so skeevy. It is unbelievable. He crosses the line so many times with a young Christy McNichol that it is
odd.
I'm cringing right now thinking about it.
It's cringe. It's a cringe factory.
It's a cringe factory that Frank Gifford couldn't even enjoy.
Brian in San Pedro. That's Sklar Brothers. Nick Foles can always fall back on being a Tom Petty impersonator. Well, that was a little petty.
Yeah, it was. All right, Sklar's. This is from Wooden Laconic. Raccoons in the Outfield. Is that the headline of the story you're going to discuss, or the name of an indie rock band you're bumping coming back from break? Raccoons in the Outfield is like six high school girls who play mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
No drums, no lead guitar, six mandolin players, Raccoons in the Outfield.
The Gypsy Queens.
They're the Gypsy Queens. That's
all right,
their
so let's
name.
Get into this take. Because I don't know if you remember back in May when Frankie Lindor tried to convince everyone that that a raccoon that was in the back hallway behind the dugout towards the clubhouse at Citi Field was a rat.
Right. That is amazing.
It was such a rat. He wanted Scorsese to put it on a wire at the end of The Departed.
That's right. Weirdest shot ever. I was like, Scorsese, you should take your Oscar away for that shot.
You don't need this. So literal. All right. So dude, between innings, ran down the hallway behind the next Mets dugout to see this quote unquote animal. People thought on the broadcast there was a fight down there in the hallway.
No,
this is back
he's
in May.
Running back to see a raccoon.
Well, he openly admitted that he had never seen a New York rat before, and then he proclaimed in a presser
that it was a rat.
This a rat.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Round and round. This whole thing went round and round. You better believe it.
Yeah, because you've never seen a rat before, you're someone to be trusted, Francisco Lindor. And they don't have rats in Cleveland? I don't understand this. So
they do.
He said, I've never seen a New York rat before. And
it's like New York pizza. Everyone's like, they're the best.
Are New York pizza rats? People openly contradicted him, all right, from his team.
And didn't someone say that it was a chemistry issue?
That they can't agree on what was a rat or what wasn't a rat?
If you can't agree on what's a rat and what's not a rat.
This animal that's in the clubhouse is now a Rorschach test for the chemistry of the Mets, who right now are slipping
hanging
by
a
hair.
Thread.
They're almost 500 again. They're shutting down everybody.
So Lindor definitely said in May it was a rat.
To which Jeff McNeil, who's a utility player, whose nickname is the squirrel or the flying squirrel.
He's the squirrel.
That's the best nickname for a utility player ever.
Yeah. Dude said, not a rat.
Not a rat.
Not a rat.
I'm going to believe the guy, truthfully, whose nickname is the flying squirrel about
that's
a
right.
rat.
Also, he's a utility guy. He's the guy you bring in to fix and get rid of the rats.
And that's the guy who spent more time off the field and back in the clubhouse.
He's not starting.
He knows what's back there.
Frankie, you're out on the field. This guy's out in the clubhouse. He knows what's back there.
And God bless the utility man. Hashtag Okendo. Hashtag Hall of Fame.
Hashtag let him in. Hashtag he's number one twice.
So McNeil said it's definitely not a rat, but then he said he thought it was a possum. Well, now I don't know who to believe.
Yeah, wait a minute. You just lost all your credibility, flying squirrel.
Well, and I never know whether to call them possums or opossums.
Well, you looked it up.
I had to look it up. If it's in North America, Rome fans, we're going to give you an education right now. It's an opossum.
There you go. If it's in Australia.
Or New Zealand and China, that's a possum.
It's a possum.
So already Jeff McNeil doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
By the way, people always talk about those Chinese possums.
They do. Also, Lindor is still insisting it's a rat.
It's not a rat.
I mean, so Pizza Rat was
big and strong.
And pulling a whole slice of pizza.
Pulling a whole slice of pizza. Couple people rode him up to 18th Street.
I'm just going to say this. We lived in New York City. We've been back to New York City a lot of times to do comedy and stuff like that. If you're eating pizza down in the subway, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You don't take that food down into the subway. You eat it outside in front of the pizza place where you bought it, and it's burning the top roof of your mouth, but you don't care because it's New York pizza.
And it's great, but you don't go down in the subway. That's worse than eating in your car.
Come on, bro.
It's more shameful. So you deserve to have a rat take that pizza away.
So we lived in New York for 5 years. We cross paths with rats late at night all the time. When you run around doing comedy.
Scary.
You walk up on a rat and it doesn't move at all. And you're huge compared to this rat. And yes, they're big. You're like, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to say this.
No fear.
I'm going to say this, not to go back to Jeff McNeil. But if you walked up on a squirrel in Central Park and it just kind of stood up and looked at you and it didn't move.
Because they're big.
You wouldn't be terrifying. That's not fair to say, because squirrels are basically
rats with better tails and better marketing.
Better PR. That's what a squirrel is.
Squirrels get better PR. People want to feed squirrels. They're like people. Bob Ross, the great painter, had a squirrel had one in his pocket.
Gonna paint a little fluffy squirrel. Little fluffy over squirrel. Here.
And then he would just feed the squirrels. Would Bob Ross do that to a rat he found in his painting basement? No.
There's always that dude who has like long, greasy hair who's like, no, it's my pet. I keep it on my shoulder. And you're like, sure. Okay, fine. But right. I don't want to see it. The tail, no hair on the tail scares the hell out of you.
That's right.
Back to what was clearly a raccoon in the Mets dugout. How do we know definitively? This past weekend, another raccoon appeared at Citi Field pregame. Maybe it was the same one as before.
It might have been the same one.
It's above the bullpen and Mets players are trying to corral it.
Trying to get rid of it.
Corral it. Like, you can't do... There was a cat on the field last night. I'm like, why do they send these fat security guards out there to catch a cat? No one can catch a cat.
I mean,
Nobody can catch a cat.
Usain Bolt can't catch a cat, and maybe that's because he's doing Michelob Ultra commercials right now.
But you know who you send to catch a cat? Andres Galarraga.
That's right.
The big cat.
Cat on cat crime.
You can't get a raccoon either, man. Those guys are stone cold. They're jerks. Raccoons are jerks.
They're like the 86 Mets.
They're mean.
Mm-hmm. They'll stare you down.
They will not come at you when you whistle for them.
No one is a raccoon whisperer.
I'm going to say this to you right now. Animal control, when they get a call and they're like, there's a raccoon on the roof, in their eyes, they're like,
why did I do this job? Are you serious?
No one wants to do that.
If someone gets at animal control, gets a call, we got a raccoon at Citi Field, they're like, I'm not getting paid enough to do this job.
I heard the first thing the Mets did because the raccoon was in the bullpen was shut it down for the season.
That's right. Anytime someone's
making buzz and generating activity,
having success in the bullpen and getting away with it, you got to shut it down.
Doesn't work. Didn't work for Jacob DeGrom. Doesn't work for this team. What's crazy for me, Ran, is that something like this starting in May, would have never happened in Houston because a raccoon would never have been roaming the hallway behind the dugout in Houston because the banging on the trash cans would have scared it away.
That's right. The banging on the trash cans is going to scare away any sort of rodent in the clubhouse area.
And maybe that's what you got to do. But New York City, man, Like, New York City is this city, and people think that they're in New York City and Queens, and they think that they're impenetrable. Mm-hmm. Animals still live.
Yeah.
Animals don't care that you're in their
city. And by the way, during the pandemic, there were like flamingos in Mumbai. Mumbai, which is one of the most densely populated areas.
And you can see mountains around cities that you couldn't see before.
During the pandemic, elephants just running through villages.
Animals came back and they're like, oh, wait.
This is our Earth.
This is ours. You guys just came to our Earth.
Right, so raccoons are going to be in the outfield.
I woke up one night and I heard scratching on a tree outside my my window. And I shined the flashlight of my cell phone out the window. Five raccoons, and they just looked at me like, what?
Exactly.
Like, what?
What?
And you're like,
nothing.
Keep going.
Just keep scratching.
Carry on, sir. And then I put down the window, and then I was like, put on my earbuds and call it a day.
Time to get a sound machine.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you said. This is how I solve my raccoon problem outside there with their scratching. I need a sound machine.
You're not going to get it. You're not going to catch the cat in the outfield, the fat secure. They can barely catch the streaker, the dude who runs on the field.
Right.
They're going to catch a cat?
You're not going to catch a cat.
Three bullpen pitchers are not going to get a raccoon off the roof of the bullpen.
By the way, you're the Mets. Do you want your bullpen pitchers going after wild animals and potentially getting bitten?
You already got guys going down.
You don't. The Mets are already losing key players left and right. You don't need to do this.
No.
But I did expect this in like another, like it is shocking to see like wild animals in New York City.
Right. In your mind, you're like, I could see this in Tampa Bay. And right. I could also see it being like a cobra.
I could see it in Tampa Bay. And if you told me that the raccoon was also on meth, I'd be like, yeah. Yeah,
he's got no teeth.
Hashtag Florida.
All right. Hour two in the books.
Hour two down and hour three. Bill Shaken, LA Times national baseball writer.
We're going to talk baseball.
Talk LA baseball, and it's Rich.
Houston Dodgers are playing tonight.
I can't wait. Rich Get Richer. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us. 1 hour to go. Here we go.